two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you on a Tuesday. Streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, the channel Miami 560 WQAM, and on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Take you guys up until 2. The headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia miles in inventory at the Sport, Sorrento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Marlins, they handled the Cincinnati Reds last night, 5-1. Augustin Ramirez, he had himself a home run, his 14th of the season. Jansen Junk went 6 innings, gave up a run on one hit, struck out 3. And the fish closed that puppy out. Anthony Bender got the save. He just needed to strike out one batter.
Jansen Junk, huh? That's the name? I like that.
That's his name.
Game ops, you can thank me later. When he plays, we need junk food options, and he needs to come up with his own pitch, and call it the junk ball. So that is all. Thank you, Marlins.
The junk ball is just a run-of-the-mill, like, crappy breaking ball. Like that's what the junk ball is.
Oh, it already exists?
Well, and there's junk ball pitchers who can't throw over 90.
Yeah, junk ball pitchers like Levon Hernandez for, like, the last 10 years of his career.
Who's the pitcher for New York? Pavano? He didn't throw. No, it was Atlanta. Who's the third pitcher? Never got above 90.
I feel like calling Greg Maddux a junk baller.
Not Maddux. Who's the other two pitchers there at that time?
Glavin. Glavin's too good to be a junk baller.
Smoltz.
A junk baller. There's something to a junk baller needs to be somebody who's just not of qualification as well. Like when you get to Cy Youngs and Hall, you're too good. I can't have those guys be qualified. Like when the Marlins had on their World Series staff, Mark Redmond, not the catcher, Mike Redmond, but Mark Redmond, slow, crafty left. He was a junk baller.
Junk baller.
Right.
Yeah.
Mixing it up, throwing a lot of stuff. That's a junk baller.
Sometimes when a guy is just wetting the plywood too much, you got to throw a couple junk balls in there because, you know, you got to switch it up.
Jamie Moyer, great call by Dade South. Jamie Moyer, who, I mean, owned the Marlins, threw like 47 miles per hour.
Yeah. Well, that's because he was 80.
He was 80 for 20 years in the big leagues.
He pitched so long.
Jamie Moyer was a junk baller.
Jamie, when he threw the fastball, it clocked out at like 82.
R.A. Dickey, he's a knuckleballer. Knuckleballer is a little different.
That's different.
Little different. Rich Hill, great call, T-Stacks.
Well, who's a knuckleballer for Boston? Wakefield.
Tim Wakefield, yeah, but that's a knuckleballer. I don't think a knuckleballer qualifies as a junk baller.
But some of them threw it fast. Like, was it Wakefield who threw it around 80? So that's what gave him.
Really?
Hey, how about this, Marcos? They had their own special catcher.
For the knuckleball?
Knuckleball, yes. Special glove.
But then you'd know he's throwing the knuckleball. But you still can't.
No, that's all he threw. Oh.
You know what?
When he changed it up, he threw a 84-mile-an-hour fastball.
You always knew what a knuckleballer you were going to get the knuckleball, Marcos. Like the only way. In fact, a knuckleball was so weird that Luis Castillo would even hit right-handed against right-handed knuckleballers.
Oh, damn!
Just because he felt like he had the better patience.
Nothing's better than a screwball, though. Those two little balls at the bottom.
It's a dead pitch. Nobody throws the screwball anymore. Too much torque on the arm.
But the ice cream, though. Pretty good. Two little gumballs at the end, you know.
Are you talking about the treat out of an ice cream?
I thought he was talking about the alcohol one too.
Okay. We got a lot of problems on this show apparently. What is a screwball though? What is that? Does that dip or something? What's the one that dips?
Screwball was like an inverted, so you like invert your arm. So it's kind of like a curveball that would like go in reverse, you know? Or like a slider that would go in reverse.
Yeah, it's a way for a right-hander to throw basically a curveball into a right-hander.
Yeah, but your arm would get really like jacked up from it. So I don't think it's really a pitch anybody throws anymore.
No one throws a good screwball anymore, right?
Well, some pitchers naturally have movement. That's why there's a lot of guys who throw 100 miles an hour that get knocked all over the place because the ball goes straight.
The only other one I know is a ghost pitch. Is that the new? Is there a guy who does a ghost pitch or something? He's like,
yeah, Sen guy on the. Throws the ghost fork.
The ghost fork. Come on, we need more pitches. Like, let's just start marketing the pitches. Who cares if it's a fastball? Let's call it something else. Like, yo, he's got a fireball. This guy.
They call it a heater. That's what they call it. Throw some cheese. That's the fastball has probably more slang terms than anything in baseball.
Let me get a
the old number one.
You ever throw a poltergeist ball? Oh, that was crazy. That was sick.
I like that one.
That's crazy.
You guys familiar with Asante Samuel?
Yep.
Yeah,
very accomplished cornerback. Has a son in the NFL who played with the Chargers.
Like his daddy.
And some rumors surrounding Asante Samuel Jr. may be one of the Dolphins' pickups as a vet corner, because the Dolphins really, the Dolphins need some help in that secondary. You know, they still need somebody. And but his dad has a podcast. And I guess wasn't a fan of the Jalen Ramsey trade, or just where things are headed with the Miami Dolphins. So this was Asante Samuel on his podcast on the Miami Dolphins. Took a blowtorch to Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer.
Dolphins had no reason to trade Jalen Ramsey other than they're sensitive. There's no leadership in the Dolphins organization. Mike McDaniels is a pushover. Chris Greer, the general manager, he has no backbone. These guys over here, the Miami Dolphins, they are running this team like a little league team. No one can stand up to the players. They're terrified of their own players, and they have no control over their players.
Wow. All right. There you go.
So here's the deal. That's how you tell a story when you're looking at everything from the outside, right? There's a couple of truths to that, but I don't agree with most of it.
Which ones do you agree with?
That they approach the players like they're scared to hold them accountable at times. Right? Like, we already know what's going on. We can see it. You know, see what's going on. You know, when Tyreek refused to go back in the game, we saw it. For the Dolphins to not comment on it in any way whatsoever shows that they were scared to hurt Tyreek's feelings. And I think that there's certain things you do in life, in a team sport, that you need to be called out, not only so that person knows, but so you set the tone for the rest of the team. And the fact that nothing was said or done by the organization other than he probably want to have that decision back would ideally have people thinking they could do whatever.
I think the thing that I found most confusing about the Miami Dolphins offseason is that you did have Tyreek Hill essentially quit on the team at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's very good. And so guys who are good, they get more passes, even though that's pretty rough.
Right.
But it's pretty crazy to me that the Dolphins did seem like they moved very fast to mend fences. And whatever happened with Jalen Ramsey was just such a cardinal sin that it couldn't be fixed.
Right.
And I just find that very confusing that we're at a point where you had a guy walk out on his teammates, say that he wants out, emotional or not, he still did it. And Jalen Ramsey, that something happened behind the scenes that was more than being late, because apparently everybody was being late, that it couldn't be dealt with for another year by the coaches. I just find that strange. It seems like what's the standard? I don't know what it is.
Maybe that's what Jalen Ramsey had a problem with.
Maybe.
Like, he could say, like, look, we can be boys and we can be friends or whatever. But when you see actions taking place in a locker room or on a field that are not acceptable and not conducive to having a good team, something needs to be said. And if Jalen Ramsey was upset that nothing was said and we just went on like nothing happened, then maybe he wasn't satisfied with the direction of the team. I don't know. Right? And so I would say he's right from that standpoint, but I would also say this. A lot of what you hear out of Dolphins camp is a direct result of losing. Right? Because it's funny, when they started the season, what, 8-1 or 8-2 a couple of years ago, the same people doing the same crap, and everybody was kumbaya.
Well, that's the interesting thing, right? Like, Mike McDaniel got the job for one reason, and that was to fix that quarterback, and had to do it because he had a personality that was more conducive to success for the quarterback, because he didn't like the way the former coach did it.
Right.
Like, it didn't drive success for Tua. He needed somebody to put his arm around it. And, you know, whatever. Yes, it is a team sport, but the most important thing at that point was, since they weren't going,
he made a big investment into it, he needs to be fixed.
So he did a good job of that, but it doesn't, I guess it doesn't work for everybody. But the thing that just, I think, is hilarious is that everybody comes out and they, like, you know, they said all the stuff last year about accountability and they're going to be bullies and they're going to do all this. So they, all the players said the same thing. And then, you know, Bradley Chubb saying we were lying. It's like, well, maybe you just lost. Maybe you weren't good enough.
That, you know? And see, and that's the other thing. Right. And the hardest part, and I'm going to say this, and people, you really need to understand this. There's two game plans, right? There's a game plan that an offensive guru can design to beat whatever the other team's doing. There's that game plan, right? That's the game plan you set the week before. Then you get to practice and preparation. And then there's the real game plan, when you realize that your guys can't do that stuff.
Yeah, like, is Mike McDaniel
playing? You gotta, and so I think Mike got into a situation where he was coaching everything that could go wrong. When his first year or so, he was coaching being the aggressor, like the other team's gonna have to adjust to us.
Right.
Then the next year, like last year, he coached as if though the offensive line couldn't block straight ahead, we're always going to get pressure up the middle, right? The offensive line's not going to protect us long enough to throw down the field, so we're going to throw a lot more short and intermediate passes, get the ball out of Tua's hand because we don't want him hit, right? And you could see that sometimes coaches outcoach themselves. At some point, you got to have confidence in what you're doing, and you're going to tweak it a little bit depending on what the defense does, but your sole goal is to find something that they can't defend. And you just go about it. Like, when I was in Minnesota, it didn't matter what we ran. Randy was open. He was open.
He was good. He
wasn't open. It was saying 3rd and 15. Give him a chance. That was what we say. Give him a chance. He's 6'4", runs faster than anybody on the field, and can jump and adjust to the ball. Ain't no defender on this planet running sideways or backwards, backpedaling, can do that like Randy can. At some point, you have to go into a game with the attitude of, I don't give a damn what you do. I'm going to be better.
You think, like, his bigger issue, though, as a coach, is it running the team or is it calling the game?
I would say this, and I don't blame him, because the worst thing you could do as a coach, and you've heard coaches say this, and it pissed everybody off. Remember the coaches that would say, I've been doing this for 30 years, I know it works.
Yeah.
Well, that don't mean your guys could do it that you got now. You got to adjust it.
Is that a Mark Richt thing? I feel like that was a Mark Richt thing.
Yes. Yes, that's who it was. I really didn't say his name because I wasn't sure. But Mark, you ain't got Georgia talent here. So
that one year, they were pretty good.
So you have to come up with a plan that enables you to do what you want to do offensively and combine that with the talent and what the talent can do. And sometimes coaches get too defensive, call it overcoaching. And so when that happens, your team looks exactly like what it looked like last year. Right? Like a whole bunch of nothing. So I think if I'm Mike McDaniel, when the first game starts, I come in, put my cojones on the table, and say, let's go, because that's what you did when you got here.
You got to fight somebody?
Dared every defense to stop me.
What's a worse insult? Is it being a pushover or having no backbone?
Ooh.
I would say having no backbone.
Yeah, I feel like worse. Having no backbone's a worse.
Because that means that you yellow-bellied, you know, like Woo-hoo! You ain't, like, that people gonna just arm you. Being soft or being a
pushover.
Being a pushover is that there are infractions happening in front of you and you don't want to pull the trigger on any reprimands or anything like that.
Both so jelly
people continue to do it.
Like a jellyfish.
Nah.
A jellyfish is like a yellow belly. That's like no backbone. Yeah. So
just visually.
There's different things. But I think Mike's problem was he overcoached. Mm. Right? Like, dude. And I'm going to keep saying this to you, right? When it's 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1, everybody knows where you're running. It ain't a trick play. It's lining up and going get some and getting a yard. That's what it is. That's why when I say I have a problem with teams who can't do it because they try to trick the defense or whatever, that's the sign of no backbone. That's the true sign. When you try to avoid the collision, avoid the confrontation by running a sweep or a quick pass or something like that, it's 3rd-and-1. If you can't get a yard, you don't need to be on that field.
Take a break here on the show. You guys get us on YouTube, Twitch, Miami56WQM, and on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take a break. Oh, there was one blatant disrespect, I feel like, towards the Miami Dolphins that has nothing to do with culture. That's next. Oh, man, it's Bad Bitch O'Clock.
Man, did you see dropped an album recently, or a mixtape or something like that?
You know, I saw that you sent that to us, and I didn't play it. What happened?
She's rapping. She's doing some rapping. She's saying crazy things. I like it, though.
Well, the crazy thing she was saying was mainly her... she was talking about her brand.
Her Fabletics brand.
Yeah.
She's advertising her clothing, which I didn't know.
She's giving some promo.
The way that she's marketing it was a shocker to me coming from Lizzo, but I think it's great music. And, hey, man, she's coming for the summer, dude, because old Cardi B, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, also coming for the summer. Deleting pictures of Stefon Diggs off of her.
Her and Stefon Diggs didn't work out.
Can you believe that?
I for one am stunned.
I actually didn't think that was a real thing.
I am stunned that that did not work. I thought those kids were gonna make it.
Yeah, you know, it starts off with a pink substance on a boat, and now look at us. We're deleting pictures off Instagram. So unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the Patriots wide receiver. I was almost going to say Buffalo Bills wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. He is on the Patriots this year, right?
So strange.
Stupid Drake May.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel. Shoulders.
Mm.
Sick of him. Does it bother you that we have the coach in the division that would definitely lose a fight to all these guys?
Potentially.
Like, I feel like Aaron Glenn and Mike Vrabel would DDT him through a table.
Yeah. I'm not sure the last fight, if I even go back, because who was the coach in New York prior to that? He was pretty – Sala? He was pretty big, too.
He was beefy. That's true. So maybe it means nothing.
I don't know. You know, we'll see. Maybe we'll outsmart them.
Perhaps. I mean, like, look, he is he does have that Socrates brain of his. But can I tell you something that kind of annoyed me? You know, like, I don't expect the Dolphins to get a lot of preseason respect on these lists, okay? But I saw today they dropped, you know, they're doing this series, this top 10 series in the on ESPN. And we talked yesterday about Devon Achane. Like, hey, isn't Devon Achane, maybe he probably should be a top 10 running back with where he's at, with some of the old names that are up there. But I saw today they did defensive tackles, and these rat bastards at the worldwide leader had the audacity, and may I say the audacity, to keep our beloved Zach Sealer it on up. He's not in the top 10 of defensive tackles when he is the only defensive tackle over the last 2 years, double-digit sacks each season.
Who'd they pick ahead of him?
They got Cam Hayward from the Steelers. He was 100 years old.
Yeah, he's just there because of his name. At this
point. He's 100 years old.
He's so old, I played at the same time his dad played. And guess what his dad's nickname was? Ironhead.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
36 years old, this guy.
Vita Vea, who's scary. Yeah, I will never say that.
Vita Vea. Very scary. I dare you.
Very scary.
It's pretty good.
Very scary.
Pretty good.
But he was ninth. All right. That's DeForest crazy. Buckner from the Colts. Yeah. Number eight.
Also pretty good.
Namdi Madubuki from the Baltimore Ravens.
What?
He's a beast.
Right. No, he is a beast. Look, I'm not saying he's not a beast, but you want to know what none of them have?
I would. There's a couple of guys already, but go ahead. Keep going.
Leonard Williams from the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. Beast.
He was the only guy on this list who had more sacks than Zach Sealer, but didn't do it back-to-back years, you bastard!
Yeah!
Back-to-back years! Quinnen Williams from the Jets, number five.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why yeah for that one?
Jeffrey Simmons from the Tennessee Titans. Jalen Carter from the Eagles.
Oh, he's a beast.
Chris Jones. Leroy.
Chris Jones on number two?
Chris Jones number two. Number one?
Yeah.
Dexter Lawrence from the Giants.
Their team was great.
Look, it's a good list. It's a good list.
Here's what I would say.
It's not full of bumps.
I would say Zach Sealer should be in the 7 to 10 around there.
Agreed.
And one of those guys should be out of it.
He's a game record dude. He's not just like, I feel like they're treating him like, oh, he's Zach Sealer. He's tough.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. If you think about all those other teams, think about the style of football they play. All play on very physical defenses. And then when you think of the Dolphins, everybody says not physical. So that means everybody on the team gets caught up in that.
Honorable.
You see what I'm saying? So that's why they don't give him the credit he deserves.
Honorable mention, Christian Wilkins. He didn't play last year. He missed 12 games. Makes no sense.
Right.
The guy said, the person they quoted here says, I know he's hurt, but I love this guy. Absolutely a top interior player when healthy.
Yeah.
He is. Very good.
He is.
Derek Brown from the Panthers, Zach Allen from the Broncos, and then Zach Sealer. Their NFL coordinator with the anonymous quote says, he's probably getting more credit for this season because Christian Wilkins wasn't there. He's worked himself into an all-pro caliber player, even though he didn't make the Pro Bowl. Tough, smart, dependable, ultimate team guy. And you also forgot Monster Cowboy.
The thing that I would say about that is that it's something to be said about the last line in that, right? Because I played with John Randall, and I can't remember him missing a game.
Oof.
And playing at that level of intensity, you know, on a weekly basis, and he did it in practice too. So when you have a guy like that on your team, right, everybody seems to follow that lead, and you got to promote it even more.
What did he miss last year? Because he missed, what did he miss? One or two games from the orbital fracture?
Two games?
I think he missed two games for the orbital fracture, which we know did that! Even though everybody denies it! I know whose fingers got in that face!
Friendly fire.
How do you friendly fire somebody in practice? What are you doing? Face masking them.
You know, the coaches coach harder in practice than they do in the games.
Well, so you get here?
So sometimes you get a little pissed off and you know, go too much.
I mean, Captain Insano on Zach Sealer.
He's going for the old eye poke like that, like charging up for it.
Never saw it coming. I tell you what, eye pokes are nasty, dude. When I was at the last dirty boxing card we were calling, there was this guy lost his mind because he got eye poked once and then he got eye poked again.
Oh.
And I was like, and he was like, you could see like the thumb going in there. I was like, oh. Although Mike Perry thought that the guy was looking for a way out. He thinks he faked the eye poke. I'm like, I don't know, dude. I think I saw that eye go in there.
Can I just tell you, that is the worst, to get poked in the eye.
Did you ever wear a visor?
Yeah. I had a problem with, believe it or not, I had a problem with the glare from the lights. You see what you know, like, what I mean?
It was too much for you?
The glare of the lights made it hard to see, almost like the sun. So I even do it now. Like when I drive, I wear glasses at night.
I just got distracted by Karen, who says Tobin is Velveeta Vera. Vea.
That's pretty good.
Point for Twitcher.
Thanks.
So yeah, it. So I wore one with a tint, but here's the problem. They claim that their visors are fog free, so it won't fog up.
Untrue.
Dude, I was doing windshield wiper on those things the whole game.
Jeez. Was it better indoor games or outdoor? Like, that was only an outdoor game problem?
Yeah. Indoor, it was it wasn't as bad, so I didn't. If I wore one, and let me tell you, all you have to do is get poked in the eye one time, you're wearing a visor for life.
Who had the coolest visor look, Marcos? Would you go Sean Taylor? Would you go LT, LaDainian Tomlinson?
You know, this is a great question that I would say I spent a lot of my childhood editing Madden players to mimic these things. So I actually have the answers for you. Sean Taylor is number one with the orange, for sure. But
orange, that was a sick look.
The University of Miami orange one with the orange jersey.
No one's allowed to wear orange anymore, right? I don't feel like people are allowed to wear that.
Can't do that no more.
God, that was cool.
Clearly. Not even an option there. But if we had to go a close number two, we have the Brian Dawkins super dark helmet that he wore with the Eagles. That one was intimidating. Ricky Williams had
Somebody said... Ricky Williams with the mirror visor and orange jersey, you uncultured swine.
Okay, hold on.
Very strong, El Maco. Jesus.
I would also say that Gilbert Brown, the dude was so big I didn't realize he was wearing a visor. let me just put that
That's
out
actually
there.
He wants
to tackle me with a pinky.
Is it necessary for him to wear a visor already being that intimidating looking?
He had the bodybuilders that have the big trap muscles.
Yeah, this.
Except he was like 350.
And then he also wore a neck roll on top of it.
So yeah.
It's like, did you need a neck roll with the traps that you have, sir? I think your neck's fine.
The only guy who wore more equipment than Leroy.
That's crazy.
No, he didn't. I mean, his shoulder pads look like somebody just put some of those bra pads on. He didn't hardly have no shoulder pads.
Nah, because
like, I'm more
shoulders.
Than sure when he after the game, he didn't have to take much off his shoulders. His shoulders were just big. Look at that. Jeez. Look how little the shoulder pads are.
The neck roll's bigger than the shoulder pads.
Yes. and let me tell you, his hands look tiny, but that's because he's so big.
I think it's also the angle there, you know?
Terrifying. Look at that.
Did you just go angle on him, JP?
I did.
not a great angle for him.
Can I just tell you?
His hands look big.
Every angle was bad. Because nobody could. When we played, look, understand this. In Minnesota, Jeff Christie maxed out at 270.
He looks like he just eats turkey legs.
Mm. Can I tell you a slept-on visor?
Hmm?
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Was that not the first name that I brought up?
Oh, that's, I'm sorry. I apologize. This face mask that I'm looking at, though, I'm sure is in the latter part of his career. And I don't necessarily remember him having his best years with it, but this one looks cool.
I do want Patrick Paul to be good because that he has a cool helmet. He has the Power Ranger helmet.
That's another thing sometimes. Like when the new helmet, like remember when Peyton Manning first was the one with that weird face mask and that weird.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, we got new helmets now. Larry Fitzgerald also had that early on.
It's, you ever noticed it was smaller up top? So you didn't get poked in the eyes.
No, I didn't know that.
Instead of the visor.
I just thought it was different. This face mask, though, that LaDainian Tomlinson.
You know, we had to do. In. Look, the other thing you did, you know why running backs wore that?
Why?
So you could do this. So you could keep your helmet forward, right? Keep your helmet forward, and you go like this.
Oh.
Look at the defense. But if you turned and looked, some dummy on defense, like, dude, they're so stupid. Listen, because I would do this, right? Look out! He's going in! Ah, they point over there. I'm like, no, dude, I was just seeing the signal from the coach.
You never called Gilbert. Did you ever call Gilbert Brown? Did you ever whisper to him, you're stupid?
Okay. I did it to defenses all the time. Like, look at so I remember one time. And it's always the linebackers, right?
Because
they want to move everybody. And one time I said to the linebacker, I said, dude, why is it so important that everybody know? Right? Because you look like more of an idiot when you're wrong. I'm just letting my team know. You're letting them know the wrong stuff, dog. Let's go. You're just it's crazy.
Appropriately, we'll get to our favorite Tuesday game. The damage is done, my friend. Is next. Leroy here with you. Time to get to our favorite Tuesday game. The damage is done, my friend.
Damage is done.
Go around the room. Say where the damage has been done that we've seen it. You guys get it at this point. If you don't. So mine goes to boy genius himself, Brad Stevens. Everybody was praising Brad Stevens. Oh, Brad Stevens, I can't believe you got more picks back for Drew Holiday. All you need to do is take Anthony Simons as Brad Stevens. Well, guess what, dude? They got the medicals on Drew Holiday, and old Joe Cronin said, let me get the picky back. And so now you just traded Drew Holiday for Anthony Simons. But the damage is done, my friend. Sorry.
Oh, wait. No, they have to give the picks back because Drew Holiday's hurt.
Apparently, they didn't love the medicals. And so they're like, all right, you just still take them. It's kind of awkward. So so the picks came back.
Wow.
And damage is done, my friend. You got lemon law. At least damage, it's not like the Marlins. Done. You know, the Marlins one time traded for a hurt pitcher, and they had to send him back.
Well, I will piggyback off of that because the Lakers made a trade last year, and it got rescinded on the center, and dude ended up balling out.
Oh, Mark Williams.
Yes.
Well, I think that the real hint on that might have been Dalton Kinnick because they traded him. And then that skier before the medicals all went. And so he thought he was a Hornet. And now he's stinking up the joint so far in Summer League. And mind you, he ain't Kasper's Jakachonis, who's 19. This guy got good. He can get a good rate on a rental car.
Oh, he's that old?
He's old, Dalton Kinnick. He's been around.
Did he go to, like, Utah or something?
Tennessee.
Oh, okay. All
right. Tennessee. I understand why you would say that, though, intangibles.
No, but if he's older, like...
Oh, you thought he went on a mission?
Yeah.
I get you. But anyway, he's... he has not been off to an impressive start. Apparently, the big showdown everybody's waiting for this week is Cooper Flagg versus Bronny. That's the most expensive Summer League ticket.
Really?
Yep.
You mean Cooper Flagg?
What did I say?
Cooper Flagg versus Bronny.
Yeah,
that's like they're going to see Cooper Flagg.
I guess. I thought it was the Cooper Manning for a second. I was like, wait, what? Anyway, that's my damage. What's your damage?
Damage Jennifer? Is done.
So I was telling Marcos, I don't think we've ever addressed this, but I'm gonna bring it up because I want.
Yeah.
Remember when the Oilers booked out that restaurant to like if they were gonna win the Stanley Cup?
Yes, yes. I did hear about that.
The Panthers on the parade ended up ordering from the same restaurant sushi.
I did see that. I did see
and
that.
And I just thought Classic it was trolls. So petty and so funny. And I had taken a picture of it to bring it up a long time ago, and I completely forgot. So the damage is also done on that. But
damage
I just
done,
wanted
my friend.
To, you know, bring it back up because it's a very important, you know.
Who do you that think was leading that charge? Kachuk? He's the most petty of them all.
The one that was holding it, I'm trying to see who it was.
They Lindell, all kind of seem
yeah
like,
Lindell was there. I believe this is Barkey. I can't see faces that much, but
they've all been kind of petty. I like
has anybody found Anton Lindell, or is he just partying up and down Los Olas?
He's in Los Olas.
He might be somewhere
sure.
buried in the sand.
Well, don't they go back home right after the season?
I don't know if he does. If you're Mr. Los Olas, feels like he's like this is basically Finland to me.
He is home.
You know, I think Anton Lindell's in Finland.
No. I mean, Las Olas.
That's his home.
That's his home.
What's your damn? You know what? We forgot to bring something because the Norman Powell news distracted us. But you go first, Frog Boy, and then I'll get to what else we forgot to get to yesterday.
See, we keep forgetting things, and I apologize. That's
unfortunate. You guys got to stay locked in. I'll be quick with mine then because this is the moment in the show where I usually bring up some sort of brawl. And that is yet another.
Wait, before you say it, you know who was holding it.
What?
You know who was holding it.
Oh, who's
it was
holding?
The polar bear.
Oh.
I just saw it. Okay. Sorry. No.
Now, speaking of hockey players, imagine, Leroy, you're at a golf course and someone is mouthing off and doesn't realize the person they're mouthing off to happens to be a former NHL player. That's what happened in this video here, where a guy, as you can see, gets the high ground with his vice shirt and thinks that he definitely has it. He's doing a lot of
huffing. Hey, does it make you more manly when you grab your junk?
I don't think so. No. And as you can see here, he attempts to push this man who's off camera before eventually getting pushed into the pond.
Oh, God.
After he gets pushed into the pond, the little man, which I'm not sure what they were disputing. I think after you get pushed in the pond, you should probably stop fighting. But he gets up and he decides, I'm going to go toe-to-toe with this man. And he gives him the old hockey punches. As you can see here.
Grabbed the shirt.
Good form there.
Bad habit.
He just grabbed the shirt, and that's when you know you definitely have a you have.
Who the hell was that?
That's a big ass hockey player.
That is a big ass hockey player indeed, and I can tell you that is NHLer Nick Tarnaski, which I don't know who he is, but
it sounds like hockey.
That sounds like hockey right there, Nick Tarnaski.
I thought the other guy was big.
Yeah, no, I mean, everything's about perspective. As soon as someone of adequate size moved up, you realize.
Angles, guys. Angles.
He's still trying to fight him?
It just doesn't go well for the other gentleman. Who did start?
He played for the Cats, didn't he?
His head bounced.
Tarnaski, look, he's even pointing at him like, please, sir.
I think he played for the Cats.
Why? Like, he's wobbling. Dude.
Okay. I think he played.
Stay in the water, sir. Still going.
I think he played for the Cats in the Dark Ages.
I love the way he looked over at this other guy and said, do you want some of this? No.
Okay, hold on. Look at he just tosses him.
Oh, my gosh. The guy says, no, I'm not your guy.
He's barely breaking a sweat.
That is interesting.
Unbelievable. He's still going.
Damage
you know
is
what?
Done.
That's resilience.
Yeah, that's something.
You cool boy.
Oh, you we wet. You probably got a few more holes to play, and you got your ass kicked.
All right. We didn't get to this. You know, I don't even have time now. We got to get to this because we forgot to get to Leroy's admission yesterday from the weekend.
All right.
We'll take a break. Back after this.